Now that brings us to chapter 10. And chapter 10 is the hiatus. Here is this period of explanation of the trumpets of something that we haven't gotten so far. So we have here the interlude between the sixth and seventh trumpets. And in the first seven verses, we have the strong angel with the little book. And then from verses 8 through 11, John eats the little book. All right? This chapter begins the second of a series of interludes between the sixth and seventh, whatever the series was. It was first seals, and now it's trumpets, and it's used to describe the various phases of the Great Tribulation that we'd not get otherwise. And so between the sixth and seventh seals, there were two groups who were redeemed during the Great Tribulation, and they were sealed. Now here, between the sixth and seventh trumpets, we have three personalities introduced. In this chapter, the mighty angel is described. And in chapter 11, the two witnesses are introduced, though not identified. Now, there has been a very definite disagreement as to the identity of the mighty angel here. Let me read verse 1 in my translation. And I saw another strong or powerful angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, as we've said, there's disagreement among outstanding and fundamental Bible expositors here. And this is one of the places where, very frankly, I don't think it's fatal or that it's something that would divide brethren. But you will find that Godet and Vincent, Pettengill, DeHaan, Ironside, Walter Scott, and William Kelly all identify this strong angel as Christ. Now, Newell and others consider him to be just an angel of great power and authority, but not Christ. And also, Dr. Walvoord takes that viewpoint, and Vernon McGee takes that viewpoint also. Now you see that if you go with either crowd here, you'll be in good company. But that first group are some men that I've had great respect for and have loved in the Lord. I've known three of those men, and they were my dear friends. But this is no occasion to divide. But I only say this, if you follow them, and it'll be all right if you do, you'll be in good company. But of course, if you want to be right, you'll want to come along with me on this. Now, I think there's ample evidence to show that he's only a mighty angel. In other words, Christ does not appear in Revelation as an angel. It's true that in the Old Testament, you see the pre-incarnate Christ as the angel of the Lord. But you see, after he took on himself our humanity, and he died and rose again, and he's now in a glorified body, we see him in the place of great power and glory, yonder at God's right hand. Now, we never see him as an angel again. When he was here in his humanity, he was not an angel. He was a man. And therefore, he is revealed in the book of Revelation, definitely as the glorified Christ, as the post-incarnate Christ. He's exalted to the nth degree. And it's well to keep before us constantly that this book is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. New glories of his person and his power and performance are unfolded in each chapter. And he's now the one judging a Christ-rejecting earth. Now, again, let me say that we're told here, and I want to look at the text very carefully, we're told it's another strong angel. another here actually means that it's another of the same kind. And the other strong angels that we were introduced to was back in chapter 5, verse 2. And there was no argument. It was not Christ. And so it's the livery of this angel that has led some to identify him as Christ. That is, the way that he's garbed. Though all angels are the servants of Christ, in this final book of the Bible, this one is the special envoy of Christ. He's another great angel, and he bears all the credentials of his exalted position. And he comes down out of heaven from the presence of Christ, the one who is in the midst of the throne. Now he's clothed with a cloud. That's his uniform as a special envoy from Christ. The clouds of glory are associated with the second coming of Christ, but the angel described here is not coming in clouds of glory, but he's clothed with a cloud. Furthermore, this is not the second coming of Christ to the earth to establish his kingdom. Rather, this angel makes the announcement that he's coming soon. Angels, you recall, announced his first coming, and they will announce his second coming to the earth. Now there's the rainbow upon his head. That's the cap for his uniform. And this is a reminder of God's covenant with man, that though the judgments have come thick and fast, and as we've seen, they're weird and wild, and it beggars language to describe them, that rainbow indicates that God will not send a flood to destroy man again. We are told that his face was as the sun. That's his badge of identification. This is the signature of the glorified Christ. It does not follow that this one must be, therefore, the Son of God. Why? Well, Moses' face shone after he'd been in the presence of God. This angel's face is shining because he's come out from the presence of Christ. And you'll recall the raiment of the creatures at the resurrection of Christ also shone. I'll not turn to it, but it's in Luke 24:4. The angel of Revelation 18:1 is a light giver, as the sun and moon, yet no one asserts that he is Christ. I take it that this is not Christ, but is what it says, an angel, another great mighty angel. Now his feet are as pillars of fire. That's part of his uniform. He has to have shoes, and he's come to make a special and solemn announcement of coming judgment. And all of these features of identification are his credentials and connect him to the person of Christ as his special envoy. The Lord Jesus is running everything at this particular point. He is the judge of all the earth.